Let those to be ordained deacons come forward. Mr. Jorge Antonio Miramontes. Mr. Timothy John Rents.
Most Holy Father, Holy Mother Church asks you to ordain these men, our brothers, to the responsibility of the diaconate.
Do you know them to be worthy?
After inquiry among the Christian people, and upon the recommendation of those responsible, I testify that they have been found worthy.
Relying on the help of the Lord God and our Savior Jesus Christ, we choose these our brothers for the order of the diaconate. Thanks be to God. What a great day for you, Jorge, and you, Tim. What a great day for all of us. This is a very special day for the Diocese of Madison, into which you will be incardinated tonight. That's a big word. But the Diocese of Madison is present tonight. This is the pastoral staff of the founding bishop, Bishop O'Connor. And this is his ring. Belongs to the diocese, not to me. I don't need to be placed under guard. It belongs to the diocese, not to me. This is the pectoral cross of Bishop O'Donnell, our second bishop. And we couldn't be more blessed, really, than to have Bishop Bullock, our Bishop Emeritus, and third bishop here, and Bishop Wirtz, our former auxiliary bishop. We're always deeply honored by their presence, deeply honored by the presence of deacons, and especially those who might have come from out of town, from great places like Sacred Heart Major Seminary, where Tim and Jorge studied. When you're incarnated into the diocese, you are embedded into the diocese. And that's why the ring is a good symbol. Just as these stones are embedded in Bishop O'Connor's ring, so tonight the two of you are embedded in the Diocese of Madison. And that means we are committed to the two of you irrevocably in loving support. And we also very much look forward to the blessing from God Himself, the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, the blessing that your ministry in His name will be for all of us. It is a great night. Now, we heard in the opening prayer, and everybody knows this, that the diaconate is all about service. The deacons are sent not to be served, but to serve. It's all about service. And what service do they publicly, permanently, in the name of the church? What service is it? Primarily the service of mercy. The service of mercy, because Jesus' body was broken and His blood was poured out, so that there might be mercy. His greatest act of service was an act of mercy, His unselfish death on the cross. The world needs you to be public, permanent witnesses to mercy, because the world is all confused about mercy. One minute I see things that impress me very much. I see people very gently taking a hold of one of those poor pelicans that is oil-drenched from the oil spill. They take that pelican very gently, and they want to get that pelican cleaned up very gently and return the pelican to action. That's beautiful. It's heartwarming. It's deeply human. The same thing, poor crab. When I see how gently they handle the crab that is suffering from some kind of oil poisoning. When I see that, I have to be honest with you, I feel very, very sorry for the crab. And I also feel sorry for myself because I would like to eat the crab. And that crab will not be returned to action. But there is a lot of mercy that one can see as we look at what's going on with the oil spill. There are other areas where we look and there is not so much mercy. Wouldn't it be beautiful if the unborn child were treated and safeguarded as gently in our society as the pelican and the crab, and because of our humanity, even more so. The world is very confused about mercy. We don't condemn the world. We invite the world to get it straight about mercy. And that's what the public and permanent ministry of the deacon's service amounts to, a public, permanent witness to mercy, the spiritual acts of mercy, the corporal acts of mercy. When you proclaim the gospel, you are proclaiming the saving act of mercy which Jesus performed on the cross. When you do the ministry of charity, that ministry is always a reaching out in mercy to the sick, to the imprisoned, to the poor, to all of those who are in need. Diaconate means service, and the service is mercy. Tonight, the church makes available to you, and you freely accept, transportation on two expressways to the ministry of mercy. Two of them. And they're notable, and we'll see them soon. The first expressway to the ministry of mercy is the promise of obedience to the bishop and to the church that you will make tonight. Because Christ's saving act on the cross, the act of our salvation and our redemption, was in the end an act of obedience, pure and simple. Jesus humbled himself, St. Paul tells us, and he accepted even death obediently, death on a cross. The author of the letter to the Hebrews tells us that Jesus learned obedience in his human nature from what he suffered. And St. Paul assures us over and over again that in his relationship to his Father, Jesus was not alternatively yes and no. He was never anything but yes. Obedience in the Holy Spirit and in great hope powered the life of Jesus to make the sacrifice that he did. Obedience, pure and simple. And is obedience that makes our church work. And I have to say, we have a lot to be proud of when we see the presence of my brother priests, for whose presence I'm so grateful tonight. One thing led to another as we were planning our transfers in the parishes due to 4 retirements. One thing led to another, and many priests were very obedient to the bishop out of their love for Christ and their love for the people. And that's very inspiring, and it's that kind of obedience that drives the church. And tonight, for the first time, Jorge, you and Tim will make that promise of obedience. It means everything in your identification with Christ's saving sacrifice on the cross. You sacrifice your intelligence at times. By that I mean sometimes you might disagree with the bishop. So you have to sacrifice your intelligence and just do it. You sacrifice your intelligence. You sacrifice your will. You sacrifice your body. The bishop says, Tim, Jorge, you're going here, not there. You sacrifice your intelligence, your will, and your body in that vow of obedience. Not because you're anti-intellectual or stupid or you don't know better, but because you are so in love with Jesus Christ, you trust him so much, and you see his will in the will of the church. And not merely the result of some kind of a weak human decision that I made after I had poorly cooked spaghetti or something like that. It's not that way. Despite our unworthiness, Christ wants to govern his church through the bishops. And it is obedience and that sacrifice of intellect, will, and body that drives the church and that brings her to life and that brings her to unity, so desperately needed in the church. Unity. So obedience is a big deal. And then tonight, for the first time, you enter into another big deal in a formal way. You make your public and permanent promise of celibacy, of chaste celibacy for the sake of the kingdom of God. The scriptures say that the ordained minister should be the husband of one wife. And by that, the scripture primarily means the church. You have a bride, a very human bride, called to sinlessness and glory, at times steeped in sin, a very human bride, like in real life, like in real life. And so, when you promise to be faithful to that bride, it's unconditional, like every marriage vow. The church can take a turn for the better as you see it, or the church can take a turn for the worse as you see it. But the church is your spouse. The church is your bride, and you will be faithful to her come heck or high water, like so many of the married couples here tonight are faithful and loving toward one another. I think of all the married couples here. I think especially of our Knights of Columbus, our Knights and Ladies of the Holy Sepulchre, whom I know in a special way. There are so many tremendous, faithful marriages here tonight. And the both of you tonight enter into a very faithful marriage with Christ Church, where again, you turn over your whole self, including your body, to the service of Christ and His people. When you make the offerings of obedience and celibacy, there is nothing left for you. When you make the offerings of obedience and celibacy and you keep them, it is no longer you who live. You've given up everything that's worth having. But you've really lost nothing of precious value, because although you no longer live, Christ, who can do all things, is alive in you. What a spectacular vocation. For those who are called, there couldn't be anything better or higher for those who are called. And I know my brother bishops, my brother priests would not trade in our priesthood, which always begins with the diaconate, and we remain deacons for life. It always begins with remembering that if you keep digging down farther and farther and farther, and any good bishop and any good priest, if you just keep digging down, you find the spirit of service, which is mercy, that you receive so powerfully and so beautifully tonight. So, having talked about it a little bit, as friends, which we are, let us ask the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do, and let us ask Him to do it right now. Dear sons, before you enter the order of the diaconate, you must declare before the people your intention to undertake this office. Do you resolve to be consecrated for the church's ministry by the laying on of my hands and the gift of the Holy Spirit? Do you resolve to discharge the office of deacon with humble charity in order to assist the priestly order for the benefit of the Christian people? Do you resolve to hold fast to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience, as the apostle urges, and to proclaim this faith in word and deed according to the gospel and the church's tradition? Those of you who are prepared to embrace the celibate state, do you resolve to keep forever this commitment as a sign of your dedication to Christ the Lord for the sake of the kingdom of heaven in the service of God and man? Do you resolve to maintain and deepen the spirit of prayer that is proper to your way of life, and in keeping with this spirit and what is required of you, to celebrate faithfully the liturgy of the hours with and for the people of God, and indeed for the whole world? You resolve to conform your way of life always to the example of Christ, of whose body and blood you are ministers at the altar. Jorge, do you promise obedience and respect to me and my successors?
I do.
May the God who began this good work in you bring it to fulfillment. Tim, do you promise obedience and respect to me and my successors?
I do.
May God who has begun this good work in you bring it to fulfillment. My dear people, let us pray that God, the all-powerful Father, will mercifully pour out the grace of his blessing on these his servants, whom in his kindness he raises to the sacred order of the diaconate.